The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The NFL season may be over, but the competition in basketball and NCAA basketball and professional hockey is heating up like never before, and there's only one place to get in on the action, betonline.ag. Guys, create a free account at betonline.ag and receive a 50% sign-up bonus by using the promo code PODCAST1. betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of You're Welcome. I've got the Godfather in studio again.
Without walkout music.
I remember Wednesday, you needed an introduction. You needed it done correctly. So, ta-da. Here you are.
That was a Hank Williams song. And if you remember, you don't know this, but that was going to be my walkout song when I fought the sheriff up in Washington.
But I did not know that.
They played his music, and it was a cool song. All right, so listen.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but go on.
When I fought the sheriff up in, we took Randy's home.
Bellingham.
Yes.
I remember the fight with the sheriff. I don't get the music thing. You lost me.
That song, I've Been Down, was going to be my walkout song, except when I walked, they played his music.
Oh, it's not that I don't get the story. It's just that this isn't an interesting story. Okay, I guess I do get it.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
No, I'm right here.
I thought there would be a payoff within the story. Now I see what's happening.
All right, well, listen. Can Kane come back after 3 years and beat the monster?
Jiminy Christmas.
Everybody, including me, want to look at this like, yeah, he's going to take him down and he's going to pound his head in.
Yeah, there's a big problem with that line of thought. Okay, first off, can Kane beat Ngannou? Of course he can. Kane Velasquez is the most intimidating heavyweight the sport's ever seen. Dana White goes as far as to call him the Terminator. Kane was signed to the UFC, just to give you a quick history lesson, because he was 7-0 and no one would fight him. He was on the regional scene. The UFC was not ready for him, and he was not ready for the UFC, according to logical thought at that time. Javier Mendez had to say to Dana White, I cannot get him a fight. He is 7-0, and he will die 7-0 unless you sign him and make guys fight him. So Dana's like, I can't really tell a guy, well, you need three more fights. If he can't get the fights, I guess I'll just sign him. So, I mean, that's where Kane's at with intimidation. Now, stylistically and ability, he's incredible. He's an incredible boxer. He loves to go out there and box. The only problem, if you even wanted to call it a problem, but if we're looking for faults on a world champion and a future Hall of Famer, he doesn't bring all of his skills. He is a fantastic wrestler. He's a two-time All-American for Arizona State University, and people forget that all the time. They forget that because he doesn't use it. To remind you of the year that he was third, Cole Conrad won it and Stephen Mako was second. So essentially what I'm telling you is that in any other year, he would have been the national champion. That was possibly the hardest weight class heavyweight has seen in a decade or so. Point being, he can wrestle, but he does not want to. There is a stubbornness. He likes that. He is a big volume puncher. If he can hit you three or four or five times, he can snowball it and he will hit you another 40 or 50 times or until you give up. when you're dealing with a guy like Ngannou, who is also a Western boxer, first and foremost, and has that kind of power, Cain, at least for a moment, will put himself in harm's way. He will put himself and give Ngannou an opportunity to win, an opportunity that Cain doesn't have to give Ngannou. He could just come out there and tackle him. But aside from UFC 200 versus Travis Brown, I can't really remember a time where Cain opted to grapple. He generally opts to stand. I wouldn't even be having this conversation with you about how that could be problematic for him had I not seen Cain Velasquez versus JDS Part 1, where he got clipped and went down because he was trading with a guy he did not need to trade with. If it wasn't for that, he's been unblemished in the stand-up, and there's no reason he shouldn't go out there and stand up. But to the point of, is this a mismatch to take Ngannou, who his heights was a number one contender, versus Cain, who at his height will be inducted into the Hall of Fame? I understand that. But there is going to be a very compelling first 3 minutes, and it's going to be compelling because Cain is going to choose to make it a competition instead of what it could be.
Where's Cain been for 3 years?
He has been in the gym. That's the good news. He suffered some injuries. He trains a little bit hard from what I hear. I don't know that he's quite as fragile as his record may tell you and his absences may tell you. It's because he's working hard. But I know he was part of each one of Daniel Cormier's training camps. And by part of it, I don't mean in there and saying, go get him, DC. I mean, he was in the room with the gloves on, working. So I can confirm for you he has been training. And I don't know what has kept him out. We're told that it's injury, but I'm wondering if it isn't a contract dispute. Generally, when there's a contract dispute, the first thing those suckers like to do is take that to the media and plead their case there. That never happened. So I tend to believe maybe there was not a contract dispute. But why did he say, I don't know. I do not know what has kept him out. He got into houses. He was flipping houses in Arizona and like doing it himself. Like he would be in there with the, you know, painting the house and whatnot.
And
I don't
the spackle?
Know. Yeah, whatever you got to do to put that thing back on the market. So, I mean, he's been busy. He's a hardworking guy. I think he just elected. I think it was elective absence from the sport.
Okay, so he comes out and either gets knocked out in the first 3 minutes or he puts a beating on Ngannou.
A beating.
What
yes.
do you do with him next?
I would imagine that. No, I can't. I was going to take that back. I was going to say that DCB strips and goes into. No, I got it backward. DC's been stripped of the light heavyweight title. He stays at heavyweight. Yeah, what do you do with Cain when those two guys are not going to compete? Well, he would instantly become a number one contender, even if he wasn't going to exercise that right. So it would be a very top guy. I think that Daniel and Brock is about done. I think. If it's not done, if it is done, then Stipe versus Cain would make a level of sense if Cormier is continuing with the narrative that I am done and walking away after Brock. If he continues with that, then all of a sudden you might want to keep Stipe on ice to put Stipe and Cain out there for the title, which would be a fantastic fight. If he says, I am going to continue fighting, then you might be burning Stipe. If Stipe wasn't to get past Cain, you can't do the Stipe fight. Now you can't do the Cain fight. So you might have to give that a little bit more thought. But that wasn't your question, what do you do with DC? The question is, what do you do with Cain? And I think as long as you're anybody at the top, I think you can have an opportunity to go in there and get beat up by Cain.
Can you trust he's going to make a turnaround in 4 or 5 months?
No, you cannot count on Cain.
That is a big curveball, especially
yeah.
when you got Stipe waiting out and waiting out and waiting out. And I wish Stipe would have took a fight between now and, you know, it's the fight game. It's not the right game. You know, Stipe's like, I should have a rematch. Well, yeah, you should, but you didn't. So go fight somebody.
Oh, every single point that Stipe makes, if this was a court of law, he keeps using the facts, he wins on. Any judge, any court, any jury sees it Stipe's way. Stipe is 100% correct. But as you just said, it's not about being right. It's about who wants to fight. And if the Brock thing doesn't come through, and I happen to be pretty bullish and maybe with a little inside information that it will, I think it does default back to Stipe. I think he might get his way, and Stipe does end up there with DC. But that wasn't your question. Your question was, what do you do with Cain next? And the thoughts of a Cain-Stipe fight, for me as a fan, is intriguing as hell. I mean, that was one match that should have happened with or without DC. Kane and Stipe should have seen each other, should have found their way to one another. And I predict they still will. Is that what's next for Kane? I don't know, man. Let's let him get through Sunday first.
Well, you mentioned
a little too much on his back right now.
You mentioned having some inside information possibly on Brock and DC. Well, there's this thing out there. You might want to look it up. It's called the Internet.
All right.
Okay. And there's footage of Gable Stevenson, who you believe will never lose a match. I'm starting to drink that Kool-Aid, wrestling with Brock. Brock's 40-something years old. There is no reason on earth, if he's not going to fight, to go wrestle with Gable. So, yes, he's coming back, waiting for DC to be healthy enough to fight. That fight's going to go on if Brock can stay clean, I would believe. Or, what is it? Reasonably clean? Relatively clean?
Reasonably.
Reasonably clean. Yeah, because that's all you have to do now.
Well, here's the thing, though, too, with Brock, and I agree with your assessment that he was in the Minnesota wrestling room getting workouts with the best guy in the country for a reason. He's getting ready to come on back and take on a wrestler. I understand all of those things. What has been very peculiar in this, though, is when we were first, if you just follow the timeline and the evidence we were given, things are out of order. Something is aloof here, right? Brock is going to come back. He's going to fight DC. We know that because the announcement was made, and they do the face-off right after Stipe and DC finish up their contest. So Brock's got to jump in the USADA pool. We're armed with that. He's got 6 months. We're armed with that. That will expire in January. He's going to take a lesser schedule with the WWE. All of these things come in line. Roman Reigns gets a personal battle with leukemia. All of a sudden, Brock's got to take a heavier schedule within the WWE. Looks like the Cormier fight is going to be off. However, Brock stays in the USADA pool and then finds his way into the Minnesota wrestling workout room. Looks like the fight's back on. Only one thing that you said am I going to choose to argue with you about, which is you did include in there, I think they do that fight once DC is healthy. I don't think DC has a choice. I think it's much like his fight with Derek Lewis when, look, the match is Saturday. Are you in or not? We need you. For Brock Lesnar, however he feels, whenever he feels, and I'm talking about Daniel, if he in fact does want that match, he's going to have to do it Brock's way, and Daniel is smart enough to know that. I'm just curious, what is the delay on that? We've got some big fights coming up. We got a big summer coming up. I mean, you're looking to this summer. Donald Cerrone and Conor McGregor was all but announced, for July. Got some very big things coming. And where does Brock and DC fit into that? And what in the hell is the holdup on making that announcement? Why so secretive? I don't get it.
All right, staying on the heavyweights.
Would you care to take a guess, though? Why so secretive? Why so quiet on Brock? If he's in the pool, if
always,
he's got clearance and he's in training,
it's
what,
always
what are
about
we waiting
the
on?
Money, right? It's about the money or the chicks. And this ain't about the chicks.
So it's about the money?
It's got to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, he gets a cut. He's in on whatever business he can go out and drum up. What's straighter than that?
Well, maybe the WWE is kind of holding it back because of the Roman Reigns thing.
All right.
Real quick on the WWE, the only thing worth watching is those women anymore. It's such a bad product. Old J-Baby, the used to come on the show and give us the he's even disgusted with the product.
You like saving cash, right? Well, you know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Well, if you dig that, then get ready for this because you can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Question for you. Okay. Who's the greatest heavyweight of all time? Here's your four choices. Randy Couture, DC, Velasquez, and Stipe.
Okay. Okay. I'm fine with your list. That is not the traditional list. A traditionalist would always include Fedor in there. I'm okay with it not. And then I would untraditionally always argue, why is Josh Barnett not in there? But I like the ones you've given. Let's operate in that constraint. I think that Randy needs to have a lot of focus put on him. The run that Daniel Cormier is getting right now, with being the 205-pound champion and being the heavyweight champion. I'm aware they stripped him, but he gets that credit for being champions in both weight classes. That was made fashionable by Randy Couture. So if that's good enough for Daniel to reach the top, and I do happen to think it's good enough, but it also needs to be good enough to get Randy's name mentioned because he was a 205-pound champion and a heavyweight champion up, down, back, and forth so many times I can't even keep track. And that was very relevant. The fact that he came back at 43, stopped the Giant. Randy does deserve to be in that conversation. So I like that. Stipe, for me, might have been the best athlete to have ever done it. But I was not as impressed with the resume that Stipe had defended the title two times consecutively and no heavyweight had ever done that before. I thought that was more of a shame on the division that that had never done before. In life, for me, I don't know of anything that two is a lot. And this is not a knock on Stipe, but the proudness that went on within that camp that he had defended the belt more times than any, I really just looked at it and said, okay, then you're just playing musical chairs in the division. I do find him to be a peculiarly good athlete, a very good game planner, the right size, light on his feet, very heavy hands, and wrestling that he uses only when he needs it. He needed it against Ngannou, in his opinion, and it was there for all 25 minutes. So I like that he's on the list. I think Verdum might also have an argument to that list, but you didn't include him. I like DC there. He has never lost at heavyweight, and that includes in wrestling. I was, up until Stipe and Daniel weighed in. So Thursday, the fight was on Saturday. The weigh-ins were on Friday. Thursday was an open workout, and I was Stipe the entire time. He's too big. He knows the weight class. It's Stipe. Daniel Cormier, after the open workout, grabbed a microphone. And fighters lie. Promoters promote. Daniel gave us numbers, and I sat back and go, that's all true, and I had to change my pick. He grabbed the microphone and told everybody in the audience, get to the betting window now. I am a 2.5-to-1 underdog. I have never lost a fight at heavyweight. I have never lost a wrestling match at heavyweight. I have never even lost a round at heavyweight. I'm a good bet. And if you guys go make it, you're all going to like me after I line your pockets. And I sat back and went, my goodness, he's right. I forgot that year in amateur wrestling that he did heavyweight, including beating Steve Mocco at the Schultz tournament 1-0. I mean, not for nothing, but he never even lost a round. So I like Daniel in the conversation. I think that you've got the right guys. And as far as the order, for the most part, all we can do is argue, particularly if you want to talk about Randy, because he'll never going to get back in there. The three other guys that you have, Cain Velasquez, the most intimidating heavyweight of all time. I mean, look, I think you've got four really good guys. But I think that Verdum would belong in there, and I think Fedor would probably belong in that talk, too.
All right, so you're not picking one.
And I like Josh. To pick one, no, would be very hard for me. All I can do is recap some of their greater moments for you. Because for the most part, three of those four guys can still figure it out. So we will get a definitive answer on that.
All right, so here, let me
But Randy can't. Randy can't get in there and still figure it out, so we got to just discuss him.
Let me help you with that.
Okay.
In for a penny, in for a pound. His name is Randy Couture.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest.
As a fighter, you need confidence. You need assurance that your skills, your conditioning is all on point. And that same concept applies to your hair. Our sponsor, Hair Club, knows all about this, and they are inviting you to become part of the Hair Club family to see how getting the most out of your hair can change your life. Hair Club is the leader in total hair solutions with a legacy of success for over four decades. Whether you're looking to revitalize the growth of your own hair or learn more about the hair replacement or restoration, Hair Club's professionally trained stylists, Hair Club experts, and consultants will craft a personalized solution to ensure you feel your best and get the most out of your hair. Just for listeners of this program, you can go to hairclub.com/chael today for a free hair analysis and take a free hair care kit home. That's a $300 value. Again, that's hairclub.com/chael for a free hair analysis and a free take-home hair care kit to see for yourself just how powerful great hair can be. Experience your hair and your life at its best, only with Hair Club.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Now, listen, I know you hate when I steer the show, but you and Brittany and the boy got to get to dinner. So we're going to have some fun today, all right? Old Team Quest stories. Everybody wants to talk about Old Team Quest stories. I'm going to go down the line. I'm going to tell a story about one of the guys, and then I'm going to throw it over to you, and then we're going to get out of here. How do you like that?
Let's do it.
All right. You want to go first? You want me to?
Go ahead.
All right. We'll start out with the captain, and that's Randy Couture. Randy is retired. Now, if you remember, the Giant had come to the dealership a couple times, and the Giant being Tim Silva. And I watched those goes sparring in the back of the dealership. And Randy never lost a round, not one single round. So I'm on him and on him and on him to take the fight. Hey, man, come back and fight the Giant. Come back and fight the Giant. It's my 40th birthday. I'm out in Las Vegas. I see Randy. You got two choices. I text him. You got two choices. Meet me at the gym and we fight, or we go to sushi. And he said, we'll go to sushi. So he picks me up. We go to sushi. I'm saying, hey, man, you got to come back and fight this Giant. You can beat this Giant. He's like, well, you know, they want me to come back and fight the winner of Tito and Chuck. And a lot of people think Tito's going to win that fight at the time. I didn't. I wasn't one of them. And I said, man, listen, man. And here's when I knew I had him. I said, you know, all this money you're making right now, being you running around these appearances, go win that fight and it doubles and you get $1 million. And he stopped for a second. He looked at him and he goes, I could use $1 million. We go to sushi. He texts Dana. The fight comes couple weeks later, or they announced the fight a couple weeks later. He smashes the Giant. Next weekend, meets me in Bend. Roll up to him, and he shakes my hand. He says, once in a while, you have a really good idea.
I like that story. And I will add to it this. I also watched him and Tim Sylvia train in the back. And Randy not only never lost a round, he didn't have that hard of a time, which surprised me because I worked out with both of them too. I remember Tim Sylvia specifically one day put me in a collar tie when we were grappling. Joel, I cleared his arm off of my neck. I had to go sit down because I was out of energy. I was exhausted. Cleared his hand off of my neck and had to go sit down and get water. Now, I can't remember if I actually went and sat down or if I just remember thinking, I got to go sit down. I don't know that I actually left the workout, but I worked out with both of them. And it did surprise me how handily Randy dealt with Tim. And when the fight got announced, people had asked about that workout. And Randy spoke on it very matter-of-fact-like, which was to say, yeah, we worked out and I, you know, had good moments with him or whatever. And then Tim came back and said, well, just a second. I actually remember it the same way. But the reason Randy had good moments with me is that was Randy and I didn't want to hurt the old man. And I remember when he said it, it did make me think, like, yeah, maybe that is what was happening. Maybe Tim meant that. I mean, those were fighting words. That was a little vicious when he said it. But it did, as a fan, make me wonder. And I remember prior to that fight, finding out the hospital that the UFC would send people to so that I could send Randy his flowers, so that I was ahead of time. Yeah, I did think at 43 years old and a 205-pounder, you know, that's where he had left off, going to bump up to heavyweight to take on the young, hungry Giant champion was a bad idea. And I had that one wrong, and you had that one right. But that was a fun time. That was a very inspiring time, you know, and not just for us as Randy supporters. You might remember Brett Favre Brett Favre came out and went to the media. And this is before the UFC or MMA or is mainstream at all. No Fox deal is in play. This is before it's mainstream at all. And you've got this mainstream guy named Brett Favre saying, I'm keeping my eye on this. And I thought about retiring myself. But if this 43-year-old can go out there and do it, then this 43-year-old can go out there and do it.
That's a great story.
Check it out. The sports action in the NBA and NHL and college basketball is hotter than ever before, and each game becomes that much more important. For instance, in college basketball, the Tennessee Volunteers are in the top spot, while the Duke Blue Devils and University of Virginia aren't that far behind. And keep your eye on Nevada, Gonzaga, and the Michigan schools. As I've been saying for months, there's only one place here at Podcast One that has all the action you're looking for. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. And don't forget to try live in-game betting and stay right in the mix. Again, that's BetOnline.ag. For all the details and while you're there, use the promo code PODCAST1, that's PODCAST O-N-E, to get a 50% sign-up bonus today. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action with BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
All right, let's go to pound per pound, the toughest person me and you have ever met in our lives. Would that be fair, just in terms of toughness, Matt Lindland?
Yeah.
Okay. So, man, I got 100 Matt Lindland stories, but my favorite is we're in college and Matt is doing real well. It's the summer before he wins the junior college national championship at Clackamas, and he's doing real well on the Greco circuit, placing in nationals right up there. And at the time, they have something called an Olympic team festival, that if you're top three in your age group, you go out to Colorado Springs. I think this time it was in Wisconsin. All the guys get together and train for a week. And then at the end, they wrestle in a final tournament. Olympic Sports Festival, I believe was what it was called. Well, it's a really big honor for him to get that slot. I was so proud of him. Well, happens to get in a little fight before the week before he's going out there. A couple guys. Matt was the first guy that he invented road rage. So somebody'd yell, he'd get out and beat him up. Unfortunately,
he invented road rage.
He did. So okay. Unfortunately, he was the defender of road rage. Somebody'd yell at him, he'd beat him up. So Matt gets out of the car. I'm not with him. Okay. There was like a year that went by that every time we went out, all I wanted to do was keep him out of a fight. So he gets in a fight, beats up one guy, and runs into a baseball bat. Gets his jaw broke. They wire his jaw shut. I go out and see him out in Redland at the farm. I'm like, you know, what are you going to do, bro? And he's like, I'm going to go out there. So he goes out, and he goes to every practice, and now he's pissed because he can't wrestle. Night before they have the tournament, goes to his hotel room, takes a pair of pliers, and undoes the wiring in his jaw and wrestles in the tournament the next day.
How'd he do?
Have no idea. Does it matter?
No, not really. Okay, so mine is a much less aggressive story on Matt Lindland, but if you're asking just for one of my favorites. So you'll remember when he was in junior college at Clackamas, when he left and transferred to Nebraska, he wanted to take Angie with him. So they got married. They ran down to the courthouse on like a Tuesday, said I do, packed their stuff up, and drove out to Lincoln. And at any rate, they're married is the relevance to the story, because Matt is in a class and Angie writes his paper. And I cannot remember how they got caught. I can't remember if it was in her handwriting, like if you were still writing things back then. I mean, it must have been typing. I have no idea how the teacher knew that Angie did it, but she left a major tell. And so the teacher brings him in, and brings him up after class. And, you know, if you cheat in college, you are out of college. It is not like high school where you're going to get a detention, or grade school and you're going to, you know, write a sentence on the board 500 times. It's not like that. You cheat in college, it's a one-way ticket out of that college. So the teacher laid the groundwork for where he was going to go to get the confession to go to the dean, and Matt will tell his story walking. And Matt instantly to the teacher copped to it. But he said, oh, yeah, she wrote it. And so then the teacher's like, well, that's all I need, you know, taking you into the dean's office and you're done. And Matt goes, oh, no, 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 you don't understand. We're married. And the teacher goes, yeah, but she wrote the paper. Matt goes, no, 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 we're married. We're one now. It's like I wrote it. And then Matt looks at him and goes, you read scripture, don't you? And right. Yeah, feel free to come on to the mic here. But that was just a brilliant moment, I guess, for many ways. And it got him out of it. But he put the teacher in a spot where the teacher could either deny Matt's actions or deny God. Matt literally said to him, yeah, he said, you read scripture, don't you? And the teacher was befuddled and just said, hey, in the future, make sure you write your own papers. And Matt's like, oh, okay.
He left.
You know, Matt is the master of the silly me. Silly me. I thought that you've seen him do it a million times. I've seen him do it a million times. So that's why I know that story happened exactly the way he said it happened.
All right, let me just put one on real quick. So he get in a fight. Everywhere we go, he gets in a fight. And I'm like, we go to this party, and I'm like, Matt, do not get in a fight tonight. Please do not get in a fight. We're in there, we're partying, we're drinking, whatever. You know, Joel, Matt's outside fighting. And I run outside and I'm pissed at him. I'm like, Matt, what are you doing fighting? He's like, this isn't fighting. This is a boot stomping contest. He keeps stepping on, slamming his feet with his big country boots onto the dude's feet. The guy would throw a punch. He would throw him down and let him up. He said, we're not fighting. It's a boot stomping contest.
That's a dick move. That would hurt getting cowboy boots stomped into him. All right, whose name's next on the list?
All right, Dan Henderson. You want to go first? You want me to?
No, I want you. Kick everything off.
Okay. All right, Henderson's only coming to the back of the dealership when he's got a fight. He'll come in and train for a week, go fight, and then go back to Temecula. I'm training in the back all the time. I'm getting in decent shape. I'm learning how to fight a little bit. So you know how we used to rotate just round after round after round. Everybody was in the room for about an hour and 10 minutes, and that would be the workout. So we're gonna go, and he says, "Hey, how hard do you want to go?" And I said, fight like brothers. We got the big gloves on, too. I said, fight like brothers. So, you know, we're going, and he hits me with the donkey punch. And it hurts so bad, I want to cry. I mean, I want to cry, see the stars and everything. He's like, hey, man, you all right? And I'm like, yeah. We keep going. Does it again. Just a couple seconds later, does it again. And it hurts so bad, I got to call it off. I'm like, man, I'm good. And he said, I got brothers.
Okay. You know, he was insistent on hitting everybody with that right hand. I mean, he really was. And he would always do the how hard do you want to go business. And he would honor it. But at some point, he let that right hand go and then insist that he had pulled it. I don't know why. I don't know if he just couldn't control it or if he took a pleasure in ringing your bell and then insisting that he could hit even harder. I don't know. My favorite Dan Henderson story, though, the night before I'm going to fight Michael Bisping. So I'm in the hotel room. I'm recovering. It's 185 pounds. You remember how bad those weight cuts were for me. So who better to talk to than Dan Henderson about Michael Bisping? He'd been in there with him. So I call up Dan Henderson and, you know, I said something about, you know, hey, can I beat this guy? I think that was my opening. Hey, can I beat this guy? And he was very clearly doing something else. You know, like I could hear the kind of the phone muffled as he was, the kids or whatever, ordering food or whatever it was he was doing. But his voice was in and out. And his response to me was, yeah. So, okay, we kind of go from there. Now, I'm really hoping for some X's and O's. Not only am I looking to get a little sunshine blown up my ass, but I'm looking for, look, before he throws anything, he'll step here or he'll move here. I'm looking for him to point out something that perhaps Clayton and I have not already picked up on. So he then says to me at some point where he's clearly put off by the phone call, he says to me, is this 3 or 5 rounds? And now that surprised me because as somebody in myself that follows the sport so closely, I was well aware that I was the co-main event. And that Rashad and Phil are the main. How Phil became a main event over me, I have no idea. But he was. I would just know where the placement on the card was. And to remind you, the only two times when you would fight 5 rounds is if you were a main event or if you were the world champion. Now, at that point in my career, I had been carrying the belt around telling everybody I was a world champion. But I did not know that Dan had fallen for it. I didn't know Dan, who was also in the company and the division, thought I was the world champion. Perhaps he did, because he asked me if it was five rounds. And I said, no, it's three rounds, co-main event, and Anderson Silva's the champion. Now, Dan's in the weight class. He doesn't pick up on what I'm putting down and just rolls right with it. And then he goes, out of nowhere, he goes, did you train for it? I couldn't even imagine what he was asking me. Did I train for it? And Joel, it was such a revelation into his own mindset and an absolute admittance by him that he's had fights before that he did not train for. Now, I happen to see some of those fights where he would just get on a plane to Japan and go out there and then knock some guy out, and the other guy had no idea to know that he has not prepared for you. But I was not that guy. I was always preparing. I was much more like Matt Lindland or Randy in that regard. So that was just one of my favorite stories, that he asked me, did you train for it?
All right. Evan Tanner.
Kick us off.
All right. So the cool thing about Evan Tanner is has a country accent, from Texas. And when you ask him a question, whether he hears you loud and clear, you say, hey, Evan, what's your name? He would say, do what? And it was just cool the way he'd do what?
Do what?
Do what? So second time the UFC's in Vegas, Randy's fighting Pedro for the championship. Lindland is fighting Baroni, and Evan is fighting Homer Moore. So I tell the story a lot because how crazy it has with the corner guys getting all of this push and how great the corners are and this, that, and the other. So, you know, wondering who's going to corner who. Me and you, Randy says, Joel and Chael, you corner Matt. I think Corey and Robert cornered Randy. And he said, Evan, who do you want? And he said, I don't care. Just make sure you have water in between rounds. I was like, that's a pretty simple request. At the same time, the commission comes in to check the wraps. And they go over and see Evan, and they to check his wraps. He doesn't have his hands wrapped. And they ask him, "Are you going to wrap the hands?" He said, "No, I'll just put the gloves on. You can put that tape around it." That's the story.
All right, they were going to put tape around.
You know how they tape the
wrist.
The wrist.
All right, he wasn't trying to put the fighter's tape over his glove.
No, he didn't wrap his hands.
Yeah. Okay.
He said, "Yeah, no, I don't wrap."
All right.
Do what?
Yeah, so Evan, you know, one of my favorite things was just because I saw it happen, but Baroni had come out. You brought Baroni out right after Baroni had his fights with Lindland, and he was then training with us. He was training at the dealership, and he and Evan, same weight class, and they could have been good workout partners. Phil was not a good workout partner, and not for nothing, but Evan wasn't really somebody you could trust either. Evan was one that would let him go, and he had very good power, or he would show up after boozing a little bit and just not be able to control it. So when you put those two together, I remember all hell broke loose, and there was only like six of us in the room. We had no coach back then. I'm reminding you of what you already know, but we were a group of guys that showed up every day at 3. We asked each other one question via popular majority vote, big gloves or little gloves. If big gloves got more people to say, let's do that, then that's what we put on. And if more people said little gloves, then that's what we put. There was no, okay, it was purely warm up, let's fight, let's hit the showers. There was no conditioning, there was no stretching, there was no technique, there was absolutely none of that. So we're winning a world championship. I mean, we thought this was the way that people are coming in to train with us, but this is how we trained. Nobody ever told us we were doing it wrong. At any rate, we're sparring, and I can hear those two sparring. I can hear the gloves. I can hear Baroni dig into Evan's body and Evan responding upstairs. And all of a sudden, they start shouting at one another. They get verbal. And we all stop and we look over, and Randy lets them know that's not what we're going to do and splits them up. And then they turn them loose. All right, everybody back to it. Turn them loose again. And the exact same thing happened again. Baroni started it. Evan comes back. They start shouting, and Randy split them up completely for the day. The reason I bring that up to you as interesting is because then they went and fought, I believe, twice. I think they fought twice in the UFC. But the point was, if people would have just known, if they would have had this backstory, you know, one of my biggest regrets is we weren't in the tech time at Team Quest. To have a website back then was a rare thing. The term smartphone had not been created yet. So to have cameras and internet access and social media of that level at that time was not a thing. I'm talking 2001 and 2002 and 2003. It just wasn't a thing. And I do have a regret. Every day that I went to practice, I wish I would have just brought in a camera, turned it on, and walked away. Whatever footage I had, I had. But the storylines that were developed there between Lindland Baroni or Baroni Evan Tanner in this case, where they went out and they did good business on two separate nights to know that actual backstory, Tim Sylvia, Randy Couture, to see those actual raw cut footage is just something that could be very special right now, but we were living in a different time.
Yeah, I tell you what, real quick, we actually looked into that, and it was $10,000 to wire that room, and that was all the money in the world to watch some guys spar in the back of the room.
And then what were you going to do so people could click in from around the world and just watch the sessions, or were you just going to record it?
Yeah, that you could do a pay. It was still dial up back then, so you could, you could. The concept was you could pay each practice. It never got anywhere, but I remember it was $10,000. Don't forget that Lindland and Henderson wrestled each other in the finals to make a world team, and then would come back to the dealership and spar.
I was at that match.
All right, let's.
Did you want to go from there? That was it.
That like the biggest thing in the world is to make a world team or an Olympic team in wrestling, and so Matt beats Danny. Matt's, you know, higher on the food chain in wrestling at this time than Danny, and Danny's higher on the food chain in fighting. And then they would have to go back to the dealership and fight each other because that's what it was. I mean, it was, you know, they were fights.
Yeah.
So I remember wanting to know who would win that fight. For years, I wanted to know who would win that fight in their prime because that's when it was between those two guys.
Yeah, different opinions from people that saw them work out. Vastly different opinions, and I've heard some of those opinions, and I've always sat that one out, but I have heard people that say Matt, and here's why, and people that say Dan, and here's why, and the evidence that they offer, I'm going, that's just simply not what I saw. I did not see that. You know, that year that you're talking about, that was 2003. The trials were held in Minnesota. I was out at them. Henderson never should have made the finals. He never even should have been there. He had retired from wrestling years before, but he had just fought in Pride, and he fought at 185 pounds. So we knew he could make the weight, and his other logic for going was that the fight was 20 minutes, and these wrestling matches are only five, so he's also in shape. That was it. Everyone else that's sacrificing meals and living out of cars and doing everything they can to pursue their world and Olympic dreams and medals. Henderson's thought – he was out of the sport, showed up, ran through everybody until he ran into Matt in the finals. And Matt beat him two straight, but it was 3-1 and 3-2. They were close matches. Matt actually turned him. Henderson didn't get turned very often. Matt actually turned him is how he won.
We're here at the Mohegan Sun. Who wins? First off – Paul Daly doesn't get the credit he deserves for being a guy that's been fighting four times a year for 100 years. Does Michael Page beat him?
That's going to be an interesting fight. I am picking in Page in that. However, they're both playing each other's game, right? Like, Page wants to be on his feet and move and frustrate you and kick you here and tap you here, jump up in the air and knee you this way. I mean, that's what he wants to do, which is what Daly's going to give him the opportunity to do it. But the other side of the coin that people do forget is even though Daly is not as dynamic as Page, he has ever been as powerful as Page, and Daly also wants to play this game. They're both going to play each other's games, much like Anderson and Adesanya in that regard. We're going in, no one's going to double-cross anyone and look to take this to the floor. They are going to fight the way they want to fight, which is happens to be the way their opponent wants to fight. So I tend to think that MVP is going to be a little bit too fast, and I tend to think that he will frustrate Daly. But I would never count out Paul Daly's power. And so many times when he's been put in a position where he can show it, meaning that somebody's willing to play that with him, that person ends up flat on their back smelling salts. So I would not overlook Paul Daly, but if you're asking me for a straight prediction, I do think that Page has the correct momentum on his side. And, you know, another big fight that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it because if Krokop wins, I'm calling Krokop out. But Krokop is taking on Roy Nelson. And, you know, he's coming back, and I think that Crow Cup has a very meaningful place in this sport. He and Roy fought once before. Things were going just fine for Crow Cup until an overhand right ended his night. So let's see how that whole thing goes, but I will personally be taking a look at that.
Well, you just called Crow Cup up. That just happened.
No, the call out comes with a caveat, which is he's got to get his hand raised this weekend. All so, right. No, it's not a full call out.
It was
should he get his hand raised, he will be getting an official call out.
Half called out?
Just a mention. He got mentioned. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer, why you can never put a price tag on your stories. Now, with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then, just answer a few questions. Navigation, moonroof, high mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you. But now you'll know how much of a hit it's going to be so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your vehicle, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. What else you got?
I'm from Nigeria.
What should I do?
Email me.
Not exactly, but not terribly off. We will work on that one. Guys, thank you all for listening. As Joel mentioned, out here at the Mohegan Sun, big weekend of fights for Bellator. Tonight on Paramount, tomorrow on DAZN. You know what to do from there. And after the weekend, make sure you're here back here next Wednesday, where I will be recapping it all. Until then, enjoy yourselves. For Joel, I'm Chael, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
It's time to get in shape with Ben Greenfield Fitness on Podcast One. Tune into the latest health, fitness, and multi-sport research, non-run-of-the-mill interviews with exercise and medicine professionals, and new cutting-edge content from the top personal trainer and wellness coach in the nation.
You've heard me talk about using infrared light and red light therapy, guys, on your skin, cellulite. I was going to say ladies, but guys have cellulite too.
Download Ben Greenfield Fitness every Wednesday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.